A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Check out the 2023 football season package. We have previews and predictions for every D1 team. That's right, the College Football Guide is on its way. Best bets on future and season win totals, futures and season win totals, head-to-head handicap using power ratings and more. It's all part of a summer kickoff special, if you so choose. 175 gets you everything we do through the Super Bowl, but this is your last chance. Last chance.
I thought you had your meeting yesterday.
What do you mean?
Didn't you say you're going to have a meeting with the bosses about you declared it the last chance?
Yeah, I mean, this is the last chance. I'm telling you. At the end of July, we're cutting it off. Yeah, yeah. That's what I have negotiated. Bill wanted this to go the entire... I was like, no, this is ridiculous. Come on. These are the decisions that I'm paid to make. Not Bill, not Len, not anybody.
That's
all right?
Yeah.
This is my decision.
Right.
Last chance. Check it out now. VSiN.com/subscribe. All right, with that, let's welcome in Will Hill from places far away. Nice enough to give us some time and... If you'll notice, Will, I've got a smirk on my face because I feel like symbolically what has happened over the last couple of nights is the same thing that's going to happen when the trade deadline approaches. The Yankees get it swatted down by the Angels, baby. It's not going to happen. Yankees aren't going to touch them. They don't deserve it. Mike Francesa and Mad Dog will never forget it. The clip when he decided to go for the Angels, oh, we don't need him. He's going to stink. Ha! In your face. He's not going. And the Yankees have lost a series to the Angels. What say you?
Wow, what was in your coffee this morning? My goodness. I mean, look, the Yankees are so dead. I don't think the Yankees are going to trade because they're only four back in the loss of a playoff spot, and that's just I feel like the optics. I don't think they're going to sell off, is what I should say, and I don't think the optics are good in terms of they're always looking to sell tickets. That's really their main priority, and plus they don't have anything anybody wants. I mean, look at that roster up and down the team. But what would you want? What would you even trade off that anybody would want? So I agree with you. Maybe this run here, these couple of wins, and that loss on Sunday night to the Astros looks even worse now because
yes.
You'd be in the mix here if you're the Angels. But maybe this is enough to keep Ohtani on the team. It's definitely the story in baseball right now in terms of what the Angels do or don't do here with Ohtani.
Well, and actually, I will say, because you're right. I actually, right while we were in commercial break, I even just said to Kelly that with these two wins against the Yankees, I get more pissed about the loss on Sunday night because this could be three straight wins. You could be talking about, what, a four-game deficit, three-and-a-half-game deficit as opposed to four-and-a-half. But here's the deal, Will. Then this is why it's important to win this series against New York and your overall point as we get closer to the first week of August. Their next two series are Pittsburgh and Detroit, the Angels. So if you're going to win this series, maybe even sweep them, you've got a really good opportunity here over the next 6-7 games to really show Ohtani, like, let's clean up house. Let's take care of these lesser teams that are going to come in here. And if we come out of this and we win the next two series, so three consecutive series wins, maybe a sweep or two in there, all of a sudden you're talking about being just a couple of games out of the wild card and convincing yourself, maybe not even, Will, to not trade, dare I say, even buy a little bit at the deadline.
Yep, that would make sense to me. And I mean, look, you gave away the game on Sunday, but Saturday you stole one too. I mean, those were two of the wildest games you'll ever see played in a 24-hour span. But yeah, it's a good point. I wonder what the cutoff number is between, hey, this is where we sell, this is where we buy, this is sort of where we do nothing. My guess is four in the loss column. Like if you're three, maybe you buy. If you're four, maybe you think about buying. Anything five or above, you think about selling or at least holding pat. I wonder if they have a number in their mind of like, hey, this is the cutoff point where we think we're in it versus where we think we're not in it.
Yep. And I will say, too, the last point on this, because it is a pretty interesting story, because obviously it has to do with Shohei Ohtani. The issue with the Angels, their lineup is actually pretty productive. Like, even with Mickey Moniak out there doing what he is, like Rich Eisen, I think called him Mickey Mosniak the other day on his show. But Mickey Moniak, all these guys are performing really well. It's just the pitching that hasn't been there, so maybe you can convince yourself that you're going to be a buyer. All right, with that, let's move on to some bigger picture things. Let's focus on that Yankees team really quickly. What do you expect from New York as we move forward here? Again, now 2.5 games out of the wild card. The Red Sox are ahead of them. The Angels with this series win have crept up on them. What's the latest on Aaron Judge? He's out there in the dugout just sitting around with the team. What do we expect from New York as we're approaching the trade deadline? What could they do? Do you think they can make it into the postseason just 2.5 games out?
I mean, I think they could, but I mean, I always look at the loss column because you can't make up another team's losses, and they're four in the loss column behind Toronto. I mean, they're still a game out of fourth place in their own division. So I don't think they're going to get in. if you get Judge back, it's amazing that one player can make such a difference. And I've said and I've thought that as great as people think he is, he's actually even better because he hits for average. He plays the field well. He runs the – I mean, he does so many things well in addition to the 500-foot homers. But I don't think they're getting in. I'm sure they'll make a move on the fringes, whether it's a Randall Grichuk of the world or, you know, Bellinger. They'll get something, I would think, as long as they're – in this range, similar to the Angels, hey, you're within four, you're within five, you can talk yourself into, hey, we can win 7 out of 8 here and we're in the playoffs, or at least in the mix. So they'll probably add, but nothing crazy. I don't see a big splash coming. I don't know, you know, Juan Soto, that's not going to happen. I don't think anything other than a move on the margins here. They do get Kansas City, I believe, this weekend, and nobody's ever needed to play Kansas City more than the Yankees need to play them right now.
Did you take advantage of the high-scoring games yesterday? The record that we saw, 9-6 to the over. Did you fire away?
No, I mean, I gave out yesterday Braves team total over on Davey, so I had that. That was a pretty sweat-free winner. Yeah, I mean, that's about it, though. That was a wild game, and you just felt like with those games, there's always another twist and another turn to it, and yep. You just felt like that wasn't settled, and that was a tough loss for Atlanta. 3 in a row now for Atlanta they've lost. Not that it matters because they're running away with the NL East, but that was a big win for Arizona. Some of these teams, I was on the air with Jeff Parles last night. We were doing VSiN tonight, and it's like Miami, Cincy, and you put Arizona all in that same boat. They're all in free fall mode. They all sort of needed to win. Arizona was able to get a win, and that was a good win. A game they trailed by multiple runs a few different times. Miami with a terrible loss. They can't buy a win now. Same thing with Cincy. Cincy feels like they're going to look up in a few days or a week or so, and they're going to be 5-6 games out of first place. Cincy needs a couple wins here.
Do you think the market – so I get people generally – the casual bettor will balk at looking at some prices at like -450 or so and be like, no, I can't play that. That's way too high. But I was going to bring this up to Kelly in the second hour. When you're looking at teams like the New York Mets or like the San Diego Padres, who are 7.5, 8 games out respectively from the wild card and where they're sitting, is the market actually kind of shorting them here because they believe in them to a certain extent? Like when you see other teams in their similar positions laying much bigger prices on the no for the playoffs, it seems the market just refuses to kind of believe that these teams are digging themselves in massive holes to dig out of.
Yes. So you're suggesting what? Bet the yes on the Padres, bet the yes on the Mets to miss the playoffs?
Yeah. So like miss the playoffs -525. Like generally you'll look at that and go like, well, that's a lot. But if you look at other teams that are in position, like for example, we just talked about the Angels, Will. They're 4.5 games out. They're -600 to miss the playoffs.
Right. Right. Yeah. No, I mean, the Mets and the Padres, there's so many similarities there between the payroll, the expectations. There is a baseline of talent there where you expect the 12 out of 14 run. You expect the 7, yep. 8 in a row. And the Mets, we saw it before the break. They had won 6 in a row. They went into San Diego that Saturday night before the All-Star break, and Snell shut them down, and then that sent them back into a tailspin. But here they are. They've won a couple in a row now. They're a favored big number today with Verlander against the White Sox. So maybe this is the run where the Mets can put together 7 out of 8, 6 in a row, and with Arizona and Miami, as we mentioned, free-falling. Maybe you can look up at the trade deadline, and you're only 3 or 4 out. So yep. I still wouldn't count the Padres out. I still wouldn't count the Mets out. I don't trust the Padres. I definitely don't trust the Padres. I don't trust the Mets. But the bottom of that wild card picture is tenuous enough where I wouldn't be shocked if you look up and these teams eventually put together a run where they're like 3 or 4 out. But I wouldn't bet on it either.
All right, it's a big card today. I think every team's in action. Did you have anything on the card?
I took the Dodgers with Urias. I just think that's a really good pitching matchup. Dean Kramer, his numbers are not pretty. His surface stats are a little better than his underlying metrics. His underlying metrics are really bad. And the Dodgers, I mean, give them credit. They don't send out a great pitcher every day, but they find ways to win. They've been scoring a bunch of runs, so I would expect them to score a bunch of runs today. And Urias pitched a good game his last time out, so I like the Dodgers. I think that's a cheap price. You can get like -140, -145 in that range. That's a noon Eastern start, so that's a quick start. We finally get some day baseball. And I played a derivative, Christopher Sanchez, over 1.5 walks, the Phillies pitcher. Brewers, fifth most patient team in the league, over 3.5 walks per 9 innings. Sanchez in his career is a little over 3 walks per 9 innings. His control has been a little better recently, but at +130, that's a nice little derivative I took a look at. There's so much to unpack with these baseball lines. I don't know if you dive into it as much. I know you're more of an NBA guy between player hits, pitcher strikeouts, pitcher walks, just the games themselves, sides, totals. I mean, you could be sitting here for 12 hours handicapping this baseball and feel like you still didn't cover everything. It's a little exhausting sometimes.
Yeah, 100%. I was just telling Kelly that when we opened the show. And the other thing, too, is like some of these home run markets, because they're becoming so popular. You know, the other night when Ohtani, because, of course, Aaron Boone was scared of Mickey Moniak, you know, hit that two-run shot to tie the game. He was, I think, plus two, somebody's 235 to hit a home run that day. Something ridiculous. Crazy. Like, that's insane.
Yeah, they short pay. They know the guys you want to play. Like Kyle Schwarber, I think, was plus 220 yesterday. I was joking with it with somebody. But then, you know what? First pitch of the game, it's a home run. But, again, if you're betting plus 220 on a homer prop, it's just you're not getting the true pay out there.
Not at all. All right, Will, thanks a lot. What do you got going on? Are you on the air later today or anything?
Yes, twitch.tv/GoBoysNetwork, 1 o'clock Eastern. So check that out. We'll be breaking down the MLB card and do a few other things. So check that out.
Nobody does it better. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Not the Will Hill. Up on Twitter. Going to do some, I think he's going to go do some forearm curls when he's done.
Yeah.
Yeah. You ever seen those things?
No, I have.
Pipes
I
with a capital I
love,
P, bro.
Love Will. Have never met him in person, but you're like the fourth person I've heard.
I got to tell you, when I first met Will in person, there was like these kids running around. I was like, why are these annoying kids running around the studio? And I turn around the corner, they're Will's. So they weren't annoying at all. They were great. All right, we'll come back. We got plenty left. By the way, speaking of not getting the value on something, we're going to bring something back from that golf talk, because I brought up something to Kelly when it came to these Scottie Scheffler top 10s. And I got to get it out there.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
All right, second hour of a numbers game. Coming up momentarily, Mike Pritchard's going to be with us, though, but do want to let you know, as we are presented by BetMGM, that we just went through about like 6 minutes, quick preview of what's going on in Conference USA. Well, our guys over at the College Football Betting Podcast do a great job. Tim Murray and Adam Burke did a full breakdown of it. Over 40 minutes of analysis, if you want, on Conference USA. They're going through their group of fives as well. Conference USA is up today. Just did the American, too. So make sure you check that out and more as Tim is rolling through conference previews. I wonder who's going to bring in for the Mountain West.
Mad humans.
Yeah, I was gonna say yes. It's probably not me. All right, let's bring in for the National Football League one Mike Pritchard. It was nice enough to give us some time and talk a little bit about what's going on in the world of the NFL. Pritch, about this time of year, and of course we just did pass the deadline for, you know, long-term deals and whatnot. But can we really quickly? That's an arbitrary deadline. We could do away with this, right? Like, I feel like if you're the National Football League, if you're gonna change one thing, shouldn't you be able to agree to a long-term deal at any point here before the regular season begins? I don't know why you would set the deadline like that, you know?
Well, if you're an owner and you're greedy, that's what you do. JVT, I mean, if your stated goal is about $25 billion annually and the profits are increasing, revenue is increasing, well, you got to cap off cost if you can. And we know these billionaires are billionaires for a reason, and they play hardball. You know, that is the business of football, and it's unfortunate that some of these players are just realizing it, right? I mean, they entice you when they draft you, you know, private jets, they're wooing you, restaurants, and telling you how great you are. But then when you become great, they tell you that they can't afford you. And so it's a slap in the face a lot of times. But I think players of today, they need to be more savvy. Like, you know, anticipate the fifth-year option or franchise tag situation and go upstairs before that even happens, right? You know, if you're Saquon Barkley or Josh Jacobs, if you can, right? I mean, if you have some leverage, I mean, I think the best opportunity for a young player in terms of leverage is when they get drafted, because that's when that commitment is the most strong between the relationship between the franchise and the player. And so, you know, there's nothing wrong within your contract saying, look, I don't want to be franchise tagged. You know, I want to get out in front of this. I do not want to be franchise tagged. And then we're going to have a sticky problem. We're going to have a problem with my contract if you want to franchise tag me. So I need some language or something to allow me to reset the market. Because if they don't do that, JVT, the owners have found business 101, right? You know, you cut off supply if you have pent-up demand. We found that out through COVID. I think NFL business 101, you publicly devalue a player or a position, and therefore you don't have to overpay. And that's what the owners are starting to do. So I think the players need to fight back in that regard.
Yeah, and so on that note, CBA or CB, the PA has got to do something, right? Like the PA has got to do something for the running backs and say, like, look, okay, rookie deals for running backs are now like 2 years with the player option, whatever it's going to be. No more, because like we've talked about, Prince, especially for the running backs, if they feel this way, you're talking about potentially 7 years of team control before you can hit the open market. Like that's nuts. And by that time, you're a sponge that's been wrung out, and they're like, all right, on to the next. Like the PA has to get involved if we're going to change anything, correct?
Well, they can try, but I don't know what they're gonna, how they're gonna succeed when, you know, the CBA runs to 2030, I believe.
Yeah.
So it's going to be up to these players now to say, look, I'm gonna hold out, and I'm not gonna sign a contract. Like if you're Bijan Robinson, I mean, it's probably too late and all that, but like you see that happening. And to be honest with you, I think it will permeate and happen to other positions because the owners kind of stumbled upon this. They did it to Lamar Jackson. They took away his market by publicly saying, no, we're not interested in Lamar Jackson. So Lamar Jackson could only go to one team. I think if you are a running back now and your two best players were not available because the owners just cut off that market, the ability for the running back position to reset the market, then that became a problem. So I don't know what the NFLPA can do other than try to inform the players. And if the players can be strong enough and band together strong enough, then maybe they can get out in front of the intentions from the ownership side of things.
So this is, and as we talked about, right, running backs are front and center, but this is what we talk about this time of year. A guy like Zach Martin, who is an extremely productive offensive lineman for the Dallas Cowboys. If you look at a lot of the analytics and numbers, he is one of the most productive interior linemen in the National Football League. Scheduled to make about $7 million less than the top paid guards, Chris Lindstrom and Quentin Nelson, are at the top of that market. What happens here? Because, hey, look, it's a non-glamorous position, but he's also very good. But this one doesn't carry the same weight, right? Not, well, literally it does, but not figuratively. Like, if you're the Cowboys, yeah, you're like, all right, man, like, I guess. Like, but you're one of five guys in a position group. Like, I think we have a little bit more leverage in this position.
You know what? It's interesting because it's exactly what we just talked about. Like, yep. I mean, I think if you're Zach Martin and you say, look, you know, I am underpaid and what's the longevity of my situation and I've outplayed my contract and, you know, I want to get out in front of any type of franchise or any type of control that the ownership could have. Like right now, I think Martin has leverage, to be honest with you. You know, the Cowboys, the way that they've been talking, it's Super Bowl or bust this year, right? I mean, I think Dak Prescott could tell you that. They released Zeke Elliott, you know, all this kind of stuff, and they're going in a different direction. New coordinator or slash play caller, if you will. So who knows? I mean, McCarthy might even be on a hot seat. So it could be turbulent. It could get turbulent out there in Big D with Dallas. But I think if you're a player the caliber of Martin, you absolutely have to be noisy right now because you do have some leverage going into camp. And maybe you can get some movement. Maybe you can get some discussion going, some dialogue going towards a new contract situation.
All right. Well, the news of the week, of course, is that a man in your position group, wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins, has found a new home, elects for a little bit more money to go play for a team that's kind of floating around, you know, 7.5 projected wins and, you know, whatever they're going to be as we head into the next year. What does DeAndre Hopkins do for the Tennessee Titans in your mind?
Absolutely nothing.
All right, there we go. See, that's a receiver saying that, first round receiver. Yes. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Burks has to hit, right? Yep. I mean, if he doesn't hit, then you know, D-Hop, that's all for naught, I think, out there in Tennessee. I mean, the Titans have tried to do this before with Julio and A.J. Brown and all this stuff, and you can go down in history too in terms of the older receiver, the aging receiver. But you have to have a complement. You know, D-Hop can't do it all by himself. I know Henry is awesome, but everybody knows that blueprint, right? I mean, I think Burks is going to have to be a difference maker. He's going to have to take a leap forward, in my estimation, to really help Tennessee in their situation offensively. I think defensively, they're solid. You know, they're a blue-collar team and a well-coached team. But if they want to be more powerful, more prolific offensively, to me, it's more about that first rounder or that draft pick that they had a year ago. Was it a year ago for Burks or was it after before that? I mean, I'm Will Levis. I'm getting behind on my draft picks with Tennessee.
Yeah, it was last year, right? Yeah, because it was the same Kenny Pickett class, right?
So yeah. So he's going to have to hit to help out D-Hop. I mean, D-Hop at this point cannot bring the explosive nature to that offense all by himself.
By the way, we were talking about Zach Martin, very much worth noting too. Maybe do throw this into contract negotiations. The first guard to be in the 99 club on Madden since 2003. So I think that's
he's
that's
got a, leverage,
right? I think that's that pushes it over the top. Like, no, I'm a 99 on Madden, you fools. Come on. All right. So let's talk. There's as we're getting closer to the season, you know, we're now at the point where it's about getting ready for the season, researching and projecting ahead. I want to ask you about Colorado if we have time, but the more research I've done, I keep falling back on one team that I want to get your thoughts on. Can you tell me why I'm crazy to look at all of these divisions and find some of these long shots? I keep coming back to Cleveland, Pritch, as a team that I think might be mispriced in their division, because if Deshaun Watson is anywhere near 2020 Deshaun Watson, and we could talk about last year, but it's a tough situation, long layoff, and then coming back when he did that portion of the year, why can Cleveland not be, as I've called them, this fly in the ointment and be a playoff team, potentially win this division? The potential here is enormous, is it not?
Well, it's potentially could be. I guess that's the best way for me to jump in on the conversation with Cleveland. What's holding me back, though, is Stefanski. And now you have Schwartz as a defense coordinator. And you remember this guy was in Philly, and he was underachieving as a defense coordinator out there in Philly. And so you move on from Joe Woods, and that message and those guys on that side of the ball, they're going to be coached differently. And I don't know how that's going to go yet. If they're receptive, then yeah, there's some upside to that, right? I think Stefanski, too, he's going to have to be a better head coach / play caller. It's not about the roster. I think if you look at the roster, and we can do this with a lot of teams in the National Football League, you look at the roster, you're like, okay, how is this team not going to qualify for the playoffs or be a surprise team? But if you look at other things, other aspects like coaching and different messages in the locker room. Are these guys going to be relatable to the new coaches and a new style? That to me, you'll be able to see that in preseason though. And if that comes to fruition, if that looks good, then you're right. I think Cleveland could surprise people this year.
All right. We don't have enough time to ask you about Colorado, but I will get you out of here on this. Did you see the wide receiver rankings on ESPN and the fact that Justin Jefferson, he won it. He was the highest ranked wide receiver. However, one of their writers had him ranked as low as 7.
Oh, no, I didn't waste my time with that one. I wasn't going to do that. I will say that my list that I put out there, I thought that was more impressive than what they did.
Yeah.
But no, I didn't waste my time. I mean, who's I don't even want to know who did something like that with Justin Jefferson's game.
I mean, I guess you can make the argument it's Adams, Hill, Chase, Diggs, and AJ Brown that you rank ahead of them. Like, if that's like in any particular order, but I wouldn't
rank any of those guys ahead of Justin Jefferson.
Right. I am with you. I don't really understand how you would do that, but I guess those are pretty good wide receivers regardless. But you can see Pritch's pecking order there, the top 20 NFL wide receivers. Pritch, we're up against it. Good to talk to you as always, man. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, you too, JBT. My pleasure. Thanks a lot.
At MI Pritchard up on Twitter. Yeah, I thought that was kind of odd, but you know, you get that all the time. We were just talking about this behind the scenes for, you know, Mountain West Media Days. Somebody decided to rank a very bad team or give them a first place vote, and sometimes you get writers who are like, I'm going to put Justin Jefferson 7th because I think more than all of you. Don't really think that's the case.
Or you just want to make a headline.
Yeah, I mean, that's, although I don't know if we know who it is. All right, when we get back, we have a lot left to get to, including our Open Championship draft.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back here on a numbers game, Jonathan Von Tobel filling in for Gil Alexander. So, are we doing our draft here? Or are we doing that at the back end?
Back end.
Okay, all right. So, the Open Championship, we can take our overview of the Open Championship here as we're looking at it. I'm excited. So, this is, I always get thrown off, tonight, right? Oh,
yeah.
Or technically tomorrow tonight. Morning, 12:45. When's the first tee time tonight?
That's a great question. I think it's like 11 o'clock our time.
Okay. All right. I'll be up. I'll watch the first tee shot of the Open Championship. Sit back with some fish and chips.
I would love to see that imagery. 10:35 Pacific time. Your first.
Oh, nice.
Time.
Okay. Totally. So, I can totally
you can catch
up and watch
Matthew
this,
Jordan, Richie Ramsey, and Brandon Grace.
Okay. Yeah. There's a name I
Brandon Grace you recognize.
You saved it at the end. I was like, all right. I know that name at the very least. all right, so let's talk about a couple of things when it comes to the Open Championship. We've discussed the course. I'll ask you this before we get to weather stuff. The sentiment I've gotten from Sian Ajad, from who we talked to or yesterday, again, if you want to take in all the information, you can find that up at VSiN.com/podcast. We talked to John Haselbauer earlier. Driver Kelly, driving accuracy, just given the way the course it sounds like is going to play? Would you agree with those sentiments? Those are some of the qualities you're looking for in a golfer this
week? Yeah, absolutely. That's basically the way I designed my entire card, was guys that either – for me, it was you have to have one of two abilities. Either you're long and accurate off the tee, or you're still accurate off the tee, and you hit your long irons well. So there's guys like a Colin Morikawa, Hideki Matsuyama, Siwoo Kim, trying to think of some other guys that would be notable in this category that might not be extremely long off the tee, but they're known as some of the top long iron players in the world. So it makes sense, right? If you're not going to go as far off the tee box, well, you got a little bit further shot to hit going into the green. So I do think it's look, the weather, as everybody talks about, that's going to be the thing to look out for all week. Did get an update this morning. Love this quote right here from the R&A chief over there, Martin Slumbers, which great last name, first of all. Quote, it's going to be wet, or it's going to be very wet. We'll see. So, yeah, expect that. It's going to be rain. Thursday, tomorrow doesn't look like it's going to be terrible. Really doesn't for right now. I will have first round leader bets in. I'll be making them like last minute tonight, though, like John Hasselbauer talked about. Yep. This weather can turn on a dime. We all know that. The weekend looks like it could be pretty rough. And as John talked about, you're talking about a course where we talk about wind often affecting golf courses. Mm-hmm. This is special though, JVT, because this is a former horse racetrack. It is flat as hell, flat as you're going to see basically for a Lynx golf course, and it's butted right up against the ocean. So you get wind coming in with nothing protecting it. There's no forest, not a ton of housing or anything like that really to block all of that.
The direction of the wind can be kind of random, can it not?
Well, you have a what is the word for it? Not sustained wind, but whatever wind goes westerly there,
okay,
constantly. But then it can change direction depending on, you know, storms and weather and stuff like that they get during the
westerly
day.
Wind.
Westerly wind. There you go.
By the way, you did distract me. Martin Slumbers is a great name for a guy that has to do with the Open Championship.
I know, right? Martin Slumbers.
It's the Slumbers. It
also sounds like very British Slumbers.
Right, yeah.
Like you'd be Marty Sleepy over here. You know what I mean? Like right, not Slumbers.
I was so distracted after you said that because I said it in my head in a terrible British accent over and over again. And I was like, that's so good.
Yeah, over here you'd be Marty Sleepy. Marty Sleepy.
Right.
But you're Martin Slumbers over there.
All right, so let me ask you this. So we talk about this in terms of quality of golf or everything. In terms of numbers, and especially when you're getting deeper down the board, I bring this up because yesterday, who did I bet yesterday we were talking about? Was it Mats? Yeah, so I bet Matsuyama at 72-1 over at Circa to win this thing, right? Circa immediately moves it, of course, to 74-1. They're like, this guy. You know what I mean?
I feel like they do that to me every once in a while, too. And I'm like, I feel like someone, like Jeff Benson's back there just laughing doing this.
Right. And yeah, it's just like, yeah, this will be fun. So he's up to 77-1. But the reason I ask is, like, when you're talking about waiting until we get closer to tournament time and for this first round to start, I would assume somebody in my position, like, you're not kicking yourself over missing out on the absolute best number, right? If you're someone in my position that's 72-1 on Mats and there's 77 now available, like, yes, that's a difference, but you're not really as opposed to, right, like 10-1 on a guy at the top versus like 14-1. That makes a bigger difference. Right,
totally. And I'm not saying this is going to happen because it doesn't look like it's going to happen, but there could be in years past where you want to wait up to the last minute because the weather's so bad, you're just trying to figure out what time of the day it's going to be. And think about it, even if that only affects Thursday, well, whatever time and whatever players it affects on Thursday, you don't know for sure that you're going to get, I mean, most likely you're not going to get equal distribution, right? That other golfers are going to get the same kind of bad weather. So you know that there might be a certain time of day that you need to be looking, a window in the day of golfers that you need to be looking at. Now, again, Thursday right now, it kind of looks fine for the most part. So I don't really think that's something you need to concern yourself with, at least right now.
Okay. All right. I like it. I just felt jaded by the fact that thing moved on me from 72-1 to 77-1 the second I bet.
Yeah, no, I'll be honest with you, man. He's been dealing with a neck injury, I know, for the past several months now is what it's been. But Decky, that's a number that He's one of my long shot bets this week. He is one of my outright plays. I only played him in the outright market. I think you're going to see more outrights from me this week without some finishing positions or matchups to tag along with them, which I usually do, JVT. But so matchups, you're always you got to deal with whatever you're dealt as far as the matchup. So that's one side of it. And then there are several golfers that I bet outright this week that I like their outright number, but I think there are parts of their game, and I'll use Victor Hovland as an example, that, you know, could rear their ugly head here. Victor Hovland, what did I tell you was most important to me this week? It's off the tee plays. When it comes to accuracy, distance off the tee, Victor Hovland, there's not and Patrick Cantlay too, there's not many guys that are better than that off the tee wise. Where Hovland, there are concerns, he's gotten way better in this, but his around the green play has always been kind of his around the green and putting has kind of always been his worst parts of his game. And if there's weather at all this week, he's going to have to chip. You're going to have to chip. You're going to have to chip from funky lies. Going to have to get out of deep pot bunkers and some sand traps. Everybody's going to have to do that this week. What you like to think about Lynx golf is there are different times, especially with how flat the course is. Sometimes he might be able to pull putter or pull a 7-iron out and go bump and run up into the green instead of having to chip, something like that. So there are guys that I think have high ceilings this week that you could take advantage of that might have – their floors might be pretty low, though. Hovland, though, that's why I bet him just outright, and that's all I did. I'll do this more often with open championships, though, too, JVT, just because a lot of these guys, we still know the best golfers in the world play on the PGA Tour. PGA Tour, you don't get that much Lynx golf experience. So even some of these guys, like Tyrrell Hatton's probably my favorite golfer this week. But even him, he plays the majority of his time. Well, he's one of the guys that splits it up a little bit, but still plays the majority of his time over on the PGA Tour. So he might be English. He might have grown up playing a ton of Lynx golf, but he's not playing as much these days. So, yeah, Tyrrell Hatton, I'll fly through my card here real quick. But, yeah, for outrights, Hovland, Patrick Cantlay and Tyrrell Hatton, I bet these numbers about a month ago. So they're a little further off. Cantlay, I don't know if I would tip that one currently at the numbers you're going to find him. I wouldn't bet him at 20. He keeps going down, it seems. There were 25s earlier in the week. The one thing I'll say about him that I still stand by is if you're looking at off-the-tee stuff like I am, he's still right at the tops. We get to Tyrrell Hatton. This is a guy that I've been regularly betting here, it seems, for about the past 6 weeks or something like that. He is a guy that I think his game has been incredible over the past few months. He's arguably the best player on tour right now. Doesn't have a win this year. Was top 10-ish in kind of all the models that I ran for this week. He's got everything you're looking at to play this course and play this course well, though. Accurate off the tee. Solid scrambling around the green play, and he's a top 20 approach player in the world. Recent results, T6 at the Scottish, T27 U.S. Open, T3 Canadian Open, T12 Memorial, T15 at the PGA. And then, yeah, I did play some bombs. Hideki, that number just didn't line up with where I had him at. I thought I'd be seeing him more probably in the 40s or 50s for this JVT. Right? Really, where he lined up in kind of my modeling didn't make sense for this number, so it's very much a number play on him. Siwoo Kim, a lot of the same. If anybody's been following my golf betting, you know I love Siwoo Kim. Usually it just comes down to whether the guy can make some putts or not. But he's got the game that can work here. Really, really accurate off the tee. Doesn't have a ton of distance, but hits those long irons very well. Joaquin Niemann, last bomb that I kind of played here. We always talk about Joaquin Niemann being he's long. He's long off the tee, he's good with his long irons, and he hits a low ball flight. So if there's really any wind that gets blowing or anything like that, he's a guy that can cut through that a bit. Xander Schauffele, been a top 20 machine this season. I'm going back to the well with him. We've seen him play well on Lynx courses before. Tyrrell Hatton, Tommy Fleetwood, both there, both very high on those. Two of my favorite bets of the week. Siwoo Kim played a longer number on a top 20. Tournament matchups real quick. There's that Koepka over Cam Smith one that Hasselbauer talked about earlier. I'm also on Hatton over Cam Smith. Siwoo Kim in a couple matchups. And then biggest bet of the week for me, JVT, Cam Smith not to finish in the top 20.
You know, my ball flight's really low. It just skips across the ground.
I do that, too. Yeah.
So I can totally dominate this course then, huh? All right. We'll take our break. Come back. We'll get a little bit of Major League Baseball. We got some big picture questions about teams to make the playoffs, the card today, and a little bit more when we return here on A Numbers Game.